Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Joel Quinn Sports Podcast on this 19th of November, of September, getting ahead of myself, 2016, as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture, mainly do NFL and college football tonight. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to Instagram at Rillo Gerald Quinn. Or you can also check us out about 24 hours later at iTunes.apple.com and check us out at the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. Look up Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. And again, we prefer 5 stars, but we'll settle for 4 would do. As always, with the NFL show, with the NFL program, we begin with the game of the week. And we go towards to Minnesota, where the Minnesota Vikings took care of the Green Bay Packers 17-14. Just a knockdown, drag them out, NFC North battle. This was an impressive win by the Vikings. I thought Green Bay would win this game, would win a close game. Sam Bradford not getting a lot of chance to get ready, prepared, coming off the trade with the Bridgewater injury. Bradford was spectacular in this game, outplayed Aaron Rodgers. He just made every throw he had to make. Stephon Diggs is big with the one touchdown, 167 yards receiving, made some phenomenal catches. But the story of this game to me was the Minnesota defense. The Minnesota defense punished Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay offense. You know, people were talking about today, well, what was wrong with Aaron Rodgers? Is he the same player? Just nonsense. I saw something in USA Today said he's been mediocre for a year. I don't know which Aaron Rodgers, they've been watching. Maybe they have mistaken for Jordan Rodgers. But it was not about Green Bay last night. That performance, that game was about the Minnesota defense. The Minnesota defense had Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay, had Aaron Rodgers in particular running for his life. He got sacked 5 times, got knocked down, hit about 8 or 9 times. They were all over him. Really kept the Green Bay running game in check. Kept Jordy Nelson in check for the most part. Randall Cobb, those guys never got off. And again, they knocked him around. I mean, that was a defensive performance by Minnesota. I look at that defense. That is a championship, top three, top five caliber defense. And yeah, you can win a Super Bowl with that defense. Now, the question to me moving forward for Minnesota, can they keep Sam Bradford standing upright? We know Sam Bradford has had injury issues going back to college. So, he's been Mr. Glass. Let's be honest about that. But when he's healthy, when he has time to throw the ball, he is a beautiful thrower of the football, can make any throw, and certainly is a major upgrade over one Sean Hill. And I can, you can make a case, even a minor upgrade over Teddy Bridgewater, at this point in their career. So, as I have a Packer fan now watching, I won't call them out, but I appreciate the love. But listen, it wasn't about the Packers last night. Packers are legit Super Bowl contenders. I picked the Packers to win the Super Bowl. Did I jinx them? I don't know. It seems like I pick the Packers every year, but the Packers will be right there. This is about Minnesota taking that momentum they had over from last season when they beat the Packers in Lambeau Field and carrying it over to this season. So Minnesota, you proved that last season's division title was not a fluke. You're 2-0, and now you're one up. In essence, 2 games up on Green Bay in division. Again, that was a big-time win for the Minnesota Vikings, opening in their new stadium, which is a beautiful place, it looked like, from watching it on television. Of course, they will host Super Bowl 52. Next year's Super Bowl will be hosted there, which is not out of the ordinary. You get a new stadium, you almost guaranteed to get a Super Bowl. But with that being said, you know, Minnesota, like, an impressive win out of Minnesota. They go to 2-0. Green Bay falls to 1-1, though it was a bittersweet victory for Minnesota as they lost Adrian Peterson. Now, Adrian Peterson is one of these, he's a freak of nature. So he gets an injury like that, a meniscus, you think he's going to be out 3 or 4 weeks. He can play next week. I mean, this is Adrian Peterson we're talking about. So we'll, you know, certainly that'll be something that that will be mentioned over the next couple of days on whether or not he will play. Playing the safety, probably would sit him for a week, but who knows? This guy is a absolute freak of nature, and despite the fact that he was did not play hardly, it was not a non-factor. Minnesota was still able to take care of business with the arm of Sam Bradford and a just punishing defense. 347-215-6180. Just getting started on here on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast as we talk NFL football, college football. Coming up, a divisional rivalry renewed, and the Patriots keep on rolling. That's coming up and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Back to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast on this, again, 19th of September 2016. Unfortunately, I don't have a guest host, you know, Chad Quinn or Rob Sapp, or I could avoid talking about the Washington Redskins, but I can't. Redskins fall again 27-23 to the Dallas Cowboys. They're now, of course, 0-2, 0-1 in division. And, you know, there have only been two other teams since the merger that have started off the season 0-2 or at home and went on to make the playoffs. You had the 2003 Philadelphia Eagles, and then 1987. There was a team in '87 who I cannot think of right now. And my mind's just been blank as far as the team that in '87. It'll come to me. That's how, you know, that's the Redskins have me just, you know, they've taken me to that place where I'm blocking, killing my brain cells. But, you know, the Redskins, a game that they could have won, I'm not going to say they should have won. Dallas controlled the line of scrimmage with their offensive line, ran the ball when they wanted to, had long sustained drives, three long sustained drives, kept the ball, had the ball like 32 minutes. I know Dak Prescott was sacked four times, but keep in mind, you know, when you are a scrambling quarterback and a elusive quarterback, you are more likely to get hit and sacked, ironically, than, say, a quarterback that can stand in the pocket and get rid of the ball and have a quick release or get rid of the ball or know when to get rid of the football. The Redskins just don't run the ball, have no confidence in their running game for whatever reason. They ran the ball in a game that, again, was nip-tucked throughout. I know Dallas jumped out 10-0, but for the most part, that game was within a field goal, within 4 points throughout the course of the majority of the game. The Redskins even took a lead at 20, took the lead in the game late in the second half. So there was no excuse for them not to run the football. They ran the ball 17 times, threw the ball 46 times, and all you hear this morning is Kirk Cousins is basically the worst quarterback in NFL history. Now, Cousins did not play well. 26, 28 of 46, 364, had the critical touchdown, the critical interception that was, to me, the biggest play in the game. And the Redskins had a chance to go up by 10. He does an interception. Barry Church apparently never saw Barry Church, and that would lead to an 80-yard game-winning drive that turned out to be the game-winning drive for the Cowboys to finish the game, basically go up 27-23. But you got to think of it this way. There were a number – I'll just go through the numbers as far as teams yesterday who ran the ball and how – and what the, you know, what the results were. So Jets ran the ball Thursday night. This was a Thursday night game, 36 times, won the game. Pittsburgh yesterday ran the ball 36 times, won the game. The Giants ran the ball 32 times, only for 64 yards, by the way, won the game. Carolina ran the ball 37 times yesterday, won the football game. New England ran the ball 38 times yesterday, won the football game. Atlanta ran the ball 29 times, won the football game. The Broncos ran the ball 31 times, won the football game. Are you sensing a trend here? Okay, are you sensing a trend by any chance? Houston ran the ball 34 times, won the football game. Rams ran the ball 25 times, won the football game. San Diego ran the ball 35 times, won the football game. So despite the fact that the NFL has become a passing league, everybody wants to see offense, defensive backs, defensive players don't have a chance with the penalties, you still need to run the football, especially when you have a quarterback who is, you know, still trying to find his way in this league. I mean, Kirk Cousins is still an unproven commodity. You know, there's a reason why he didn't get a long-term contract. You have an above-average offensive line. You have a guy in Matt Jones who you got rid of Alfred Morris, fan favorite, and had some good years with the Redskins. But I have no problem with them making that move. I think it was time for them to move on from Alfred Morris. But you get rid of him to make Matt Jones a starting running back, and you're treating him like, you know, like he's a change of pace back. After two games this season, Matt Jones has 20 carries in two games, 20 carries for 85 yards, no fumbles. No fumbles. That's key. That's, if you're a Redskins fan, that is key. He has not put the ball on the ground. Yesterday he runs the ball, you know, 13 carries for 61 yards, including a 14-yard touchdown. But yet, in critical situations in the red zone, inside the Dallas 10-yard line, you're going to throw, you know, these fade patterns, or, you know, bench, or, you know, running offense out of shotgun, and, you know, it's just, I'm just trying to make sense of why the Redskins just refused. And I mean, these are the, you know, think about the history of the Redskins, the Hogs. I mean, I'm as baffled as any lifelong Redskins fan would be right now in terms of why they've just gone away completely from the running game. I just don't understand it. And it's gotten to a point where, you know, they're going to have to run the football to protect their defense. Their defensive line, and Kendrick Golson is out for the season with the hamstring. Their defensive line, even before that injury, was already thin. It was already suspect to begin with. Now, I understand the pass rush was better in the second half. They had four sacks. It was non-existent in the first half. But you're talking about a defensive line that's just, right now, it's not that good. It's just not. It's a below-average defensive line with guys who are outside of Ryan Kerrigan are just not impact players, or guys who are like Preston Smith and Trent Murphy who are trying to find their way in the NFL. They have some talent, but they're still trying to find their footing. So you're going to have to protect them in terms of keeping them off the field with their running attack. Can't go three and out. Can't have, you know, time of possession is important for the Washington Redskins, for that defense. So, you know, another game where the Redskins just completely, you know, just dismissed the running game. Had a lot of talk this morning about dissension in the locker room. In regards to Kirk Cousins, you had guys talking about, you had guys talking about play calling, adjustments not being made. And I like how athletes, not only in football, in any sport, talk about we didn't make adjustments in terms of knocking their coach. Like, what, you know, it is the most overused term in sports. Even by fans, they should have made an adjustment. If you can't execute plan A at a high level, then what would make me believe that as a coach or a coordinator or somebody in a supervisory role that you would be able to execute plans B, C, D, E, and F? you can't ask who plan A. How do you make adjustments to missed tackles? How do you make adjustments to missed blocks, missing blocks? How do you make adjustments to penalties, false starts, guys not lining up in the right places? I don't know how do you adjust to that? And I guess that's the thing that bothers you the most about the Redskins. You know, they're not good enough to shoot themselves in the foot. They're not playing fundamental football. They're not. They get penalties at the worst times. At the worst times. I mean, they have so many drive killers this year through two games. It's ridiculous. So again, this is not on Kirk Cousins. I mean, let's toss Kirk Cousins out. He's not the guy. Kirk Cousins has not played well this year. But Kirk Cousins has had basically no help from his defense, no help from the play calling. So I think a lot of times the quarterback gets too much credit when the team wins, and too much of the blame when the team loses. Now, he has not been good this year, but he has not been that bad to say, you know, it's time to make a move or should we start be looking at other quarterbacks around the league? Not that time yet. So, again, the Redskins are in a tough spot. They're facing a 2-0 Giant team next week. At the Meadowlands or at, you know, MetLife Stadium. We'll see what happens with that. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that over the course of the week. But right now, they look like a team that, you know, doesn't want to run, can't stop the run, and a quarterback who is not at the level that he was at last year. And that equals 0-2. 347-215-6180 is the call number. Steelers stay undefeated. And the Patriots lose another quarterback. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Four 7215-6180 is the call number. Bears Eagles about to kick off. Chicago trying to snap a 5-game home losing streak. That is unreal in the NFL to lose 5 straight games at home. I mean, really. But I mean, we're talking about the Chicago Bears. We're talking about one of the blue bloods in the entire NFL. You know, this is George Halas. This is Walter Payton. This is Vic Buckus. You know, Mike Singletary. I mean, it is remarkable. Like, the fact that they've lost, and I think they've lost like 10 out of their last 11 home games. Home games, not games, home games. And of course, every Chicago fan wants to blame it on Jay Cutler. Like, Jay Cutler is the reason for, like, the, you know, gross national product in Chicago. Like, the pizza doesn't taste good. It's Jay Cutler's fault. So we'll see what happens tonight. Philadelphia, I know Carson once played well against Cleveland. I got a chance to watch a lot of that game, but I want to see him against a real NFL defense. And I mean NFL. I'm not talking about high school, college. I'm not so sure. Like, I'm just not sure Cleveland is an NFL team right now, to be honest with you. So it'll be very interesting to see him on the road, rookie quarterback. He looked good last week. He did play extremely well, was poised, made some nice throws. You know, didn't face too much pressure for the most part, but they're going to come after him tonight. If I'm game planning for a rookie quarterback, I'm bringing a house. I'm blitzing. I'm throwing everything at him early to see if he can handle it. So we'll see how he handles it tonight on the road. Eagles have trying to keep pace with the Giants at 2-0 in the division, 1-0 right now, 2-0 in the division. Chicago trying to even their record at 1-1 coming off a loss against the Houston Texans last week. Pittsburgh over Cincinnati 24-16. This was a physical knockdown, drag them out football game. Neither big receiver had any. Both big receivers struggled, A.J. Green and Antonio Brown. One of the rare times you'll see Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown not on the same page. Now, you want to attribute that to secondary play or the fact that these two teams know each other so well. A lot of times these divisional games are not as high scoring as you may think they're going to be. These are both can be explosive offenses in Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. I think this bowl is better for Pittsburgh, to me, moving forward than a game had they won, say, you know, in the 30s and 40s. Pittsburgh's defense was much maligned last year, particularly their pass defense. Their front seven was still very good against the run. Their secondary has been better this year of late, and yesterday afternoon was the ultimate test. They getting held down A.J. Green, knocked around Andy Dalton, and really did not, you know, Ben Roethlisberger did not have his best game, had two interceptions in the game. But again, Pittsburgh, like New England, like Green Bay, like some of the other top contenders, they don't have to be on their A games to beat you. The ability to run the ball. D'Angelo Williams, again, is a guy who won't make the Hall of Fame, but that guy has been invaluable to what Pittsburgh has done over the course of the last, you know, year or so with Le'Veon Bell fighting suspensions and injuries. Yesterday, 32 carries for 94 yards. And again, it's not about the yards per carry or the total yards. It's about the carries. Those carries take a toll on the opposing defense. See, opposing defense is much rather go against, you know, against the pass, trying to pass, you know, you can come after a quarterback, you know, likelihood for an interception, but to somebody to physically pound you with the run is demoralizing, especially when you know it's coming. And at certain points in that game, the weather was bad, Roethlisberger was off, Cincinnati knew that run was coming, but yet they still were not able to get off the field at times. Pittsburgh has a new tight end. This is Jesse James. I've seen him in two games. He looks good, 6'7", athletic, you know, in the mold. And again, I'm not going to compare him to Heath Miller. It's too early for that. But this guy has made some nice catches, and that they have so many weapons. I mean, so many weapons. You consider that Pittsburgh is without Le'Veon Bell right now. They're without their two top receivers, or two to three top receivers. Of course, they have Antonio Brown, but Martavis Bryant, Marcus Wheaton, they just plug in guys, you know, Sammy Coates, this Rogers kid, you know, they are loaded, and I mean loaded with weapons. It's the reason why I picked them to go to the Super Bowl this year. So nice win for Pittsburgh. They improved to 2-0. Cincinnati, not a bad loss for Cincinnati. On the road in the division, they fall to 1-1. New England over Miami, 31-24. New England improves to 2-0 on the season. Miami falls to 0-2. You have the feeling that if Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't get hurt, that they could have and would have named their score. This game was nowhere near as close as the score indicated. This would have been, I'm telling you right now, this had 51-10 written all over it. Garoppolo through the first 2 weeks has played great. He was headed towards a 350-yard, 5-touchdown type game before he hurt his shoulder. Now he has not been ruled out for this Thursday's game against Houston. I doubt that he will play. It's my own personal opinion, but I feel like he has not been ruled out. And of course, typical New England fashion, their third string quarterback, Jacoby Brissett, comes in 6'9", 92 yards. I mean, it's just I don't know what to say about the Patriots. They have third and fourth string guys who come in and produce, while my team's first string guys struggle to produce. LeGarrette Blount, 29 carries, 123 yards, one touchdown. Martellus Bennett had a big game, 114 yards receiving and a touchdown. So the beat goes on for the New England Patriots. They will again host the Houston Texans next week on Thursday Night Football. 347-215-6180 is the call number as we discuss the world of sports and the NFL. When we come back, we'll break away from the NFL a little bit, talk about some college football. That's coming up and much, much more in this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 is your call number as we discuss the world, as we discuss the NFL, college football. Of course, it was a big weekend of college football. You had a couple of showdowns, a couple of statements made by two teams, one a blue blood traditional powerhouse, the other up and coming powerhouse in terms of Louisville. And that's where we begin with Louisville. I've been a Florida State fan going back to Deion Sanders, Terrell Buckley, Leroy Butler, guys like that. I mean, I go way back with Florida State when Bobby Bowden had some dark hair, had a couple of dark hair stuff. I've never seen a team dominate a Florida State team the way Louisville did on Saturday. And you want to say, well, what are you talking about? What about the 2015 Rose Bowl? Here's the difference. That Rose Bowl game was an avalanche game. So Florida State had about 6 or 7 turnovers in that game. And a close game, that was a close game in the first half that got away in the third quarter. And, again, it was one of those avalanche games where a game is close for, a quarter or two. You get a couple of turnovers, and next thing you know, a 10-point game turns into a 30-point game. That's what happened in that Rose Bowl against Oregon. This was just a straight-up ass-whooping. I mean, there's no two ways about it. This was we want your status as the conference's top team. We want your status as we don't care that you're Florida State. We don't care about your recruiting classes. We are taking we are going to make a statement not only to you, but to the rest of the country, that we are a legit national championship contender. And that's what Louisville did. You beat somebody, beat Florida State 63-20. 63-20. Look at its total yardage. Look at the Louisville pass rush. Their defense is dominant. They beat them every which way but loose. It was the absolute epitome of a woodshed special. And I watched every minute of it. I don't think did I watch the fourth quarter. Maybe I didn't watch the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. Okay, I didn't watch it. I'm not sitting here and lying to you. I didn't watch the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. But it was one of the beatdown was so impressive to me as a Florida State fan that I couldn't turn it off. I'm like, because I respect it. I respect talent. I respect great football. So they were beating our ass so bad that I had to watch it. I'm like, is Lamar Jackson this good? Is he really this good? Is he really this fast? I mean, he looked like a man amongst boys. He looked like that big kid in the schoolyard that dunks on everybody in basketball on the carton, or that big kid in the football field who you want to say, check his birth certificate. Can I check how old is he? He's not 12. That dude ain't, that dude not 12. You know, he's about 18. That's how I felt like watching Lamar Jackson play against Florida State. Check his birth certificate. So, an impressive performance, to say the least, from the Louisville Cardinals. They have another showdown game in a couple of weeks against Clemson. That could be 3-4 or 2-3. Who knows? Right now, Clemson's fifth. Louisville's third. It doesn't matter. The rankings at this point don't matter. They don't start mattering until – they won't matter until basically middle or end of October when those BCS rankings come out. But Louisville made a major statement this weekend, and they had their way with my Florida State Seminoles. The other statement that was made was by the Ohio State Buckeyes. The Ohio State Buckeyes lost as much – they lost about 12 pros last year to the NFL draft. And what you saw in that game against Oklahoma was a team in Oklahoma that has a great program building in Bob Stoops, who's won a championship, won a bunch of Big 12 championships, will be in a New Year's Bowl every year in and year out. You saw him. You saw that versus an icon in Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is just one of the great coaches of all time, period. Period. I don't care how good your recruits are. I don't care I don't care how many championships the program has won. When you lose the amount of talent that Ohio State lost in the draft, there's going to be somewhat of a slippage, somewhat. I watched that team this year. Right now, they're better than what they were last year. They are a better football team. They have no – remember they had three quarterbacks last year? When they had three quarterbacks with Cardale Jones, Braxton Miller, and JT Barrett. This year they have one quarterback, and he's going to be in the Heisman Trophy race. Okay. They have a lockdown corners at defense on the defensive end. They have pass rushers still run the ball. And again, they have outside of Nick Saban with Alabama, they have the best coach in all of college football, period. Outside of Nick Saban, not named Nick Saban. I mean, he coached Urban Meyer coached circles around Stoops in that game last night, in that game Saturday. You're talking about a team going on the road against Oklahoma, who had lost the previous week and needed the game, okay? They needed, or they lost a couple weeks ago to Houston and absolutely needed the game, because when you lose a second game in college football, your season's over as far as going to the playoffs and possibly winning a championship. Oklahoma season's finished from that standpoint. So Oklahoma had to have that game. They had to have that game. Ohio State's on the road, not playing, basically playing somewhat with house money. Ohio State could lose one game because the Big Ten is strong this year and still be in the playoff contention. Oklahoma could not afford to lose Saturday and be in playoff contention. So I was impressed with those two performances from Ohio State and Louisville. As far as the rest of the college action goes, nothing surprising. Alabama's still the best team. Notre Dame still can't stop anybody. Like, their defense is still just is horrible. So there's nothing, nothing shocking from that standpoint. 347-215-6180 is the call number. We'll get back to the NFL. As there's still nothing right now, nothing, 0-0 Chicago and Philadelphia. This is the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Is your call number on this next edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. A number of injuries in the NFL yesterday. Yesterday you had DeMarcus Ware with a broken forearm. Of course, we already talked about Adrian Peterson. Again, he's such a freak of nature. He can return next week. Who knows? Danny Woodhead out with an ACL. I already mentioned Kendrick Golston for the Redskins. A lot of running backs that left the game. Surprise, surprise, Arian Foster gets injured. We didn't see that one coming. Thomas Rawls of Seattle left the game. So, again, a lot of running backs left the game, came out the game with injuries, which I read this article. Check this out. There's a thought or there are rumors that maybe Ray Rice will get a job now because of how many running backs are banged up and injured. It's not that. Let me tell you something. The injuries weren't that bad. So Ray Rice can just, I don't know what he's going to do, what he's doing with his life, but I don't see him on the NFL team anytime soon. So, I mean, there are plenty of guys who undrafted free agents. There are rookies right now, guys who we haven't heard of who are third and fourth string, second and third string. It's not that bad to where where you're going to call Ray Rice, give Ray Rice a call. Like, so I don't anticipate that we will see Ray Rice this season. I just that's just my thoughts on that. Rams get their first win of the season, 9-3 over Seattle. We could have saw this coming a mile away. The Rams, no matter how bad they looked last week against the 49ers, and they looked horrible. They played Seattle as tough as any team in the league. It doesn't matter where the game is at. Last year they swept Seattle. Even years when Seattle had, went to the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl, the Rams played them Like they, I mean, they just, you know, certain matchups, certain teams play other, match up with other teams, and it becomes a psychological thing where you think, where you feel like, hey, we're just as good, if not better, than these guys. The Rams front seven was all over Russell Wilson. Seattle did not have any, any real success running the football, and the Rams did just enough, and I mean just enough offensively, to come out on top. But again, let's be honest, this was not about their offense. They scored 9 points. They have yet to score an offensive touchdown in our 1-1. So that lets you know about their how dominant their defense can be. That defense, that front seven is the best in the NFL. And that front seven is, Robert Quinn and Ogletree and those guys, Aaron Donald, like they will terrorize your offensive line. And Seattle learned Seattle learned the hard way yesterday. Again, one of these divisional games, a lot of times are defensive games. They're games that are going to be decided that turn out to be a battle of wills and physicality. And that's what that was. That was a brutal football game. And again, it wasn't so much, despite the score, only 12 points being scored, I like the defensive games. I really do. You always one mistake from a game from a game turning, interception, key fumble, a missed call, something that can turn one of those games in the favor of a particular team. So I have no problems with the game when those type of games when the defense is played at a high level. And speaking at a high level, Denver defense continues to dominate. 34-20 over Indianapolis. Indianapolis falls to 0-2. Denver improves to 2-0. This was all about Von Miller and the Denver running game. Von Miller had 3 sacks, a forced fumble, was all over the place. Denver broke open a tight game in the fourth quarter with 2 defensive touchdowns, a key to lead, 46-yard touchdown interception return. And again, a Von Miller forced fumble that led to a touchdown run back. Again, I thought I was dead wrong about Denver this year as far as them basically coming back to the pack in terms of their defense not wouldn't be as good as it was last year. The quarterback situation. Denver right now probably is a better team than what they were last year because the defense is just as good. Let's be honest, Trevor Siemian. And again, I'm not drinking the Trevor Siemian Kool-Aid as far as him being a franchise quarterback, but this version of Trevor Siemian is playing better than Peyton Manning than that version of Peyton Manning, than 39, 40-year-old Peyton Manning. And there's no two ways about it. He's a confident player right now. He's making all the necessary throws. He's getting the right people the football. And Denver is running the football. Denver, 31 carries for 134 yards. Teams, I love watching teams who play to their strengths. I don't care about, all this fancy 80-yard passes, reverses. We are going to play defense, knock your quarterback's head off, and then run the football down your throat. And to be fair about it, Denver's offensive line is much better than what it was last year. Remember, for the most part last year, that offensive line was in shambles. This is a above average offensive line, and they're certainly taking advantage of it. But again, I'm waiting, and this is coming. I'm waiting for people to say Andrew Luck is overrated. I'm just waiting for that because it's coming. It's coming soon. I wouldn't be surprised if people didn't start talking about it tomorrow. Andrew Luck had a rough game, had no chance. I mean, no chance in that game against that Denver defense. Me and Rob Satt talked about it last week that he's gonna be hurting after that game, after the Denver game. He had, again, the offensive line, he had no chance in that game. There's certain games, listen, there's certain games, I don't care who you are. I don't really care who you are. There's certain games where your quarterback has no chance. Last year, Aaron Rodgers had no chance against Arizona in the regular season in that particular game. The offensive line got destroyed. They almost got him killed. So certain times when your offensive line is not very good and you're facing the best defense in football, that's what's going to happen. You're going to have Von Miller go crazy. You're going to have Tlaib running back, pick sixes. And you're going to have, I was surprised, to be honest with you, that Indianapolis played as well as they did. I mean, again, that game was close. That was a close game in the fourth quarter. It was a very close, that game, those two turnovers for touchdowns broke open that game. So Denver improves to 2-0, Indianapolis falls to 0-2. Atlanta over Oakland, 35-28. Atlanta improves to both teams, even though both teams are at 1-1. Very disappointed in Oakland coming off that road win down New Orleans. I thought they had a chance to really build some momentum moving forward into the two games in the season. Instead, they lose a home game to the Atlanta Falcons. Neither team could stop each other. It was almost 1,000 yards of total offense. Oakland, I mean, Atlanta had 528. Oakland had 454. Jacob Tamey had a big day. Matt Ryan had a big day. Julio Jones left the game with an injury. He had a big day as well before leaving the game with an injury. A couple of scores to get to before we get out of here. You had the Giants over the Saints, 16-13. Baltimore over Cleveland, 25-20. And San Diego over Jacksonville, 38-14. Jacksonville is really making me look bad. I thought Jacksonville would be an up-and-coming team. Thought they had a lot of young talent, especially on the offensive end. They played terribly. Well, the Green Bay game, they didn't play hard. They didn't play bad, so that's not fair. But this game, you can't play as well as they did against Green Bay and go up against a San Diego team that is not any good and get smoked 38-14. So that's what happened. Baltimore 25-20. I don't even know what to make of that game. I know Cleveland stinks. I have not been impressed. I've seen a lot of Baltimore the past couple of weeks. I have not been impressed with them at 2-0. I just haven't. The Giants taking care of business are 2-0. Improved to 2-0. Again, not one of the prettiest games. Only 16-13, which was in stark contrast to the game that both teams played last year. When you had all of that offense. But again, if you're a Giant fan, you have to be happy not only to be 2-0, but the fact that your defense kept Drew Brees in check, and the fact that Victor Cruz seems to be on his way back. Not missing. I don't think he'll ever be what he was once was in 2011 when he probably was the best slot receiver in football. But the fact that he's on the field and not making cameos and ballers is good news for the Giant faithful. They have a lot of weapons on offense. The pass rush has been pretty good this year. Giants will have a chance to put the Redskins in a hole next week at MetLife when they meet the 0-2 Redskins. So very interesting day in the NFL. It didn't compare to week one. Things kind of came back down to earth a bit. Not as many close games. You did not as many great quarterback performances. You had a couple. A couple of quarterbacks had rough days. Like Jameis Winston had a day for that. You know, you had that song, Mama said there will be days like this. I mean, he had about 5 turnovers against an angry, and I mean angry, Arizona team as they fell 40-7. So not a big deal for Tampa to split with Atlanta and Arizona to be 1-1. Again, Arizona, there was no way Arizona was going back-to-back home games. But we began the program, of course, talking about the game of the week. And as far as I'm concerned, the team of the week in terms of the Minnesota Vikings, 17-14 over the Green Bay Packers. And, again, that defense is a championship-caliber defense. That Sam Bradford, if they can keep him upright for the season – they could be the team. And me and, I talked about it with Robert Sapp. I posed the question to him, who could be that team outside of the major contenders that could surprise and possibly make a Super Bowl run? Minnesota could be that team. I mean, assuming Adrian Peterson gets back and assuming that they can kind of fix that offensive line, that is a championship defense. And we saw just last year with a dominant and championship defense, how far that can take you with a competent quarterback and with a commitment to the running game. And Mike Zimmer is going to be quickly becoming a top coach in this league. That man could flat out coach. Should have got a job years ago. He should have had a job, but he's doing an excellent job up there in Minnesota. And if you're a Viking fan, you have to be happy about the direction your football team is going in. That's going to wrap it up with this edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. I will see you next time. Enjoy your week. So long.